San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, good evening, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power. We're heard not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, L.A. County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for 760 KFMB or tune in radio, you can hear the show as it airs on any device. And we are free on iTunes if you search the title of the show. Now time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner, a best-selling author, a lecturer, a philanthropist, and a family office expert advising several high net worth families. Richard, good evening. How are you tonight?
Yeah, something like that. doing well.
Good. I know you were a big fan of the Australia Open.
Roger Federer, my hero.
35 years old. And
wins it in five sets against Rafael Nadal, down a break in the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Rolls off the last five games, the most unbelievable
so
five
he was
games
down,
in tennis.
What was he down in games in the
he
last
He was down 1-3.
1-3.
Serving with a break point for Nadal to go up two breaks at 4-1, fought that off.
Mm-hmm.
I think Nadal fought off about eight break points between the two games where Roger broke back at. And then all of a sudden, Roger's serving at 5-3, and he's down 15-40 for a break chance for Nadal. But Roger pulled himself out of that hole.
Huh.
Hits a winner off the line.
Oh, I saw that.
The Nadal challenge, so the crowd didn't know what to do.
Yeah, to win the whole match.
It was like you could, hear a pin drop kind of thing.
It was on the
line.
So
Hawkeye showed the replay, and the ball clearly hit, well, pretty much right on the middle of the line. And then there was a delayed reaction celebration. But 35 years old, unbelievable.
Yeah, I wish they had that thing around when McEnroe was playing.
No, because then he wouldn't even be McEnroe.
Oh,
it would be nothing
God.
For him to complain about.
Meltdown McEnroe. Geez, what a bad example.
It would have taken all the fun away from
him. Oh, fun my eye. He was a bad example for kids anyway. I mean, it was entertaining for adults maybe, but anyway.
My lifetime record against McEnroe is 1-0. Me and Tim Wilkerson beat John and his partner in doubles at the Rancho Bernardo Inn about 15 years ago.
Yeah, well, you did nothing good to say about him.
I got to meet his wife, Patty Smith. That was the highlight of that.
Yeah. But anyway, well, we'll talk about conflict resolution later with our first
guest.
There we
go. Tonight, I was leading with conflict resolution.
All right, we're back with the award-winning It's Your Money and Your Life. Hey, it's an all KFMB show today.
It is.
On the board, we have Eric Rubalcava, by the way, which...
we excuse the beauty, Paul Palmer. Now we have the youth.
And we've actually raided the Mike Slater show because we have the producer with us, the beloved Miles Himmel. Miles, welcome to the show.
Thank you, guys. This is fun. Thank you.
Well, my gosh, where do we start? I heard you were sitting in for Mike the other day and talking about high school and whatever, and you were kind of, I guess, making comments about your liberal friends, this and that. But you must have got a good education, so we want to know where you went to school, born and raised, what part of San Diego, and where you went to school, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, well, I was trying that radio thing. I was filling in for Mike. But I went to school. I was born and raised in, I guess, what they call the 4S Ranch area back then. It was just Rancho Bernardo because we just had cows around us. We just had dirt roads and cows. I mean,
really?
We have seen it expand so much that now we look down on a super target, and it's just like, what are we doing here, We're part of the NIMBYs that are just like, get out of our backyard. But
so what year did you become a fetus?
I was born in 92.
Okay. I should say newborn. So is he Gen X, Gen Y? I guess you're Gen Y, huh?
I think they still lose.
I don't know.
Millennial, I guess. So
millennial.
Yeah. So I went to high school at La Jolla Country Day.
Okay.
I couldn't afford that school, so my kids went to La Jolla Country Night School.
Hey.
But I'm bump. Try the veal. He'll be here one night. Anyway, Country Day, and then anywhere else.
And then we went. I braved 4 years away from home. I went to Bradley University,
Illinois,
nice.
And didn't like
Bradley.
The cold, so I came back. Mm. But yeah.
Well, you love the cold because I know you and your dad. And we got to talk about the Cubs a little bit. I mean, when did your dad first? Because your dad's from Chicago, right?
From Chicago, South Side, and his mom wouldn't let him go to the White Sox games because it was too dangerous. So he had to
still,
go. To
still
the
is, yes. Still is.
Exactly. So he became a Cub fan, and I've got to say, every summer we would go to Chicago, and I mean, trips revolved around the Cubs, and they were terrible back then. I mean, we're talking like 90s. And I mean, they've been terrible.
Yeah, I mean, until they started trading with the Padres. Yeah,
exactly, raiding the Padres. So, and we went. I mean, spring training, the Cubs, and.
But what a great ballpark! Is that the first ballpark you ever saw?
You went to your first game in Wrigley?
Yes.
You'll never. You know, I would go to that park and I'd look down. I go, gosh, Babe Ruth stood right there. You know, Lou Gehrig, all these legends of baseball.
Well, name some Cubs.
You can only say that about that and Fenway Park. I think all these other parks have been reconstructed or moved or whatever, right?
Name some Cubs. Say Phil Cavaretta or something.
Well, I know. I'm saying the
Ernie Banks. Ernie Banks.
But of course, Ernie Banks. Ron Santo, of course. But I'm just saying the legends going back. You know, totally. To the 1910s.
We had Billy
and 20s.
Williams' godson on the show, for crying out loud.
Oh. Yeah. We had his godson on the show?
Yeah. I'll remind you who that is later.
Oh, okay.
You remember.
Oh, Nathan. Nathan. Yeah, well, I think we talked about that.
Anyway.
Nathan Watkins. Yeah. But, okay. But anyway, so the Cubs, and of course, a great season this year. I mean.
I mean, surreal. Surreal. Surreal on so many different parts. We were back for game six, uh-huh. The game that they clinched to go to the World Series, that they won the pennant. And I mean, goosebumps still. I get goosebumps talking about it. I mean, as I like to say, there were 42,000 people that sit in Wrigley, but it felt like there were like 3 million fans from past, present.
All right. The magnificent parade, 5 million people approximately, and God knows how many around the world, because they do have fans around the world.
Yeah.
Did you go back for that at all?
Or no, just the game. I mean, but I got to be honest, when they clinched the pennant, when they won the World Series, I mean, I had tears coming down my eyes.
Of course.
As so many did, because, you know, you're thinking about your dad.
Of course.
You're thinking about his dad. I mean, 109 years is...
It's a long time.
That's a long time. There's a lot of generations in between.
Oh,
so.
God, yeah. Yeah, it was great. And, of course, their appearance in the White House. And President Obama, I guess, did a great speech for them and whatnot. So, but anyway, but we digress. So, Miles, after Bradley, what'd you study in Bradley, by the way?
Boy, I studied communications. Just tried to follow my dad.
What a surprise!
So you got this great gig. Now you after college, did you immediately start working in KFMB?
Yeah. So I remember coming to the studios, and it's funny about KFMB is that my dad gave our program director his first job, Dave Sniff. He gave him his first job when he was like a teenager.
Really?
And
what was that?
Gosh, he was on the radio doing something, and he said, hey, do you know how to run a board? And he said, no. And he said, okay, I'll teach you. And
Station was that, dude?
Gosh, you'd have to ask.
I'll ask Dave. I did not know that.
You'll have to ask him. So lo and behold, it turned around, and he said, do you know anything about politics? And I said, no. And he said, perfect, let's do it. And so,
just like our present administration, Joe.
Well, I mean, did you start out as an intern, or did you just
started as a producer. And here's what I will say is I was always privy to what was going on in the news. I couldn't give you a take on anything, but I knew what was going on, probably just from watching the news and watching my dad and things that was going on. And I was always interested. So they said, hey, do you know the local stories? And I said, yeah, I know places, I know people. I just can't give you much besides that, but I've learned, and like they said, that this last presidential campaign is unlike any other.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, we don't know what's going on with it. we're all waiting for the other shoe to drop, but at least there's something to talk about every
day. That's right. That's
never
right.
And night and day. So there you have it. But La Jolla Country Day, and when you know, Governor Dukakis comes there, he's been coming there for 16 years. Did you see him when he was there?
I did not. No, I didn't know that. I know they've had some big
hitters. Yeah,
George
Mitrovich set that up.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, he spoke. He's actually going to be, I think, at this morning he was at Point Loma Nazarene. But okay. Yeah, he would come once a year. I think this is his 16th trip here. So that's kind of...
Okay.
Well, La Jolla Country Day, I think Bree Walker's daughter went there, by the way, as well, who won the... Countywide Rotary Speech Contest. I remember seeing her do that. So.
Well, I always give the story is like, so I went to Westwood Elementary, which is just my local elementary school, and I'd be, you know, telling stories, and I'd say, you know, this past week, and I got to go in the Chargers locker room, and it was really cool because
who
I met...
Who were the Chargers again?
That's right. And I'd tell the kids that, and they'd say, wow, that's so cool. I'm at elementary school. I'd go to La Jolla Country Day, and they'd say, yeah, my dad owns the Chargers. That's all great.
Well, we got to take a little break right now, Miles. We'll come back with great stories of Miles Hamill, producer of the Mike Slater Show, right after this. Hang on. All right, that's Frankie Lane music. And we were playing that in honor of Miles Himmel. Tell us why we're playing that, Miles.
Yeah, he's I'm related to him. gosh, let me do the math here, but it's on my dad's side. And I want to say it's like second cousins or
really?
Something like that. Yeah, we went up to his home one day. And,
in Point Loma.
Point Loma.
Yeah, in Point Loma. And just he showed us the gold
records. Has a decent view.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he's the late Frankie Lane now, but I'll tell you a funny story about it. Well, he can't hurt me since he's not here, but we were sitting at the table. It was me, my mom, my dad, the three of us, and him and his wife, but they had six placemats put out. And we said, well, there's only five here. Put the food out, beautiful lunch, put the dog right up here, and he ate right at the table with
oh
everybody like
gosh.
It was normal. So it was such a I always will remember Frankie Lane.
Jeez, our dog doesn't even use
you
a placemat.
You know what his birth name, his real surname is Lovecchio. Did you know that, Richard?
Lovecchio?
Yeah, Frankie Lovecchio. So your dad must have some Italian in his background, perhaps.
There you go.
Sicilian Italian, I don't know. I'm not sure which, but he did a big thing for shoes, Frankie Lane. I know he did a large fundraising or philanthropic event to give homeless people shoes or whatever.
Right?
But he was quite the philanthropist, as I remember, humanitarian. So and good guy, and he lived here.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, local. Well, you know, Dick Van Dyke lived here for a while too.
Yeah, Coronado.
Yeah, Coronado.
So your dad came here what year? Because I remember seeing him perform at the Comedy Store,
mm-hmm.
and he had some funny. Obviously, his whole act was funny. The news director here happened to see him, Jim Holtzman. You probably know the story a little bit, right?
Yes, yes.
And next thing you know, he's doing this San Diego at Large with Rick Rockwell, who
that's
I know
right.
well.
He wants to marry a millionaire. That's right.
Boy, it's a shame he got tagged with that. Are they, you know, you still friends with him at all, Rick?
You know what? I haven't seen him in years and years and years.
Yeah.
But.
Actually, Rick Rockwell and Rusty Nails are probably the two best local comics we had in town here who could do complete, you know, a complete one-hour show and more. They had this show. They did an hour a night. Do you still have copies of that, the San Diego at Large at
oh,
all?
Oh, yeah. I've got a few. Every once in a while, people say, you got to sell them. You got to put them out. I'm like, that's not the political correct way anymore, you know?
How crazy is that, doing an hour a night of TV locally? I don't know where. And I know Dan Arden was the producer. He came over from Channel 10. I don't know how they were able to write. And your dad must have not have slept at all.
Yeah,
I mean.
my mom said it was just 3 years of hell, not in like a bad way, but just work and work and work. He'd come home and work. He'd write and work. I mean,
I know you got to write a whole show and
think about that in this day and age where you'd have hour, you know, local programming every night.
I still to this day it astounds me. And they were given prime. It was a good hour too. I think it was like 7 to 8 or 8 to 9 or something. But I mean. I don't think that could ever be reproduced today.
I don't think so. Hey, Miles, serious question.
Yeah.
Your dad was a funny, funny guy, but some of the most poignant reporting I ever saw was when we had the wildfire.
Yeah.
And he was reporting. You guys actually lost your home.
You? Yeah, it's funny because people remember him as the funny guy, but then they remember probably, like you said, the most important story was in front of the house. But, yeah, I remember he was standing in front of the house. We were on the phone with him, and he said, oh, gosh, it's on fire. I've got to go. And then the last time the next thing we saw was him just like everybody else here in San Diego watching it burn down. And, we lost our home. And, surreal, you know. And then even the days following, like, going on Larry King and going on all these shows because it kind of went viral.
Yeah.
And people, you know, hey, that's the guy that stood in front of his home while it burned down. And so we did that.
And he kept it together pretty professionally, I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was incredible.
With the mask over his eyes. Because, you saw the flames and smoke right there. I mean, it was very poignant. I mean, you don't get to do a story like that too often in your lifetime. But that was very, very moving. I didn't know he got on Larry King and all that.
Yeah, so. I mean, we were sitting there going, just probably wide-eyed, like, we didn't have anything left. We didn't have any clothes. But.
Well, it's all the sentimental stuff you lose. I mean, you could lose a shirt or a pair of pants, but, I mean, you're losing pictures and memorabilia that you can't replace. I know that Ingrid Croce lost all of her stuff in a fire. You know, Jim Croce's, all his awards and medals and things, and you can imagine the loss there, but... But anyway, we're here and kicking, and that's the main thing. So
that's
great. So tell us about your experience at the Slayer Show. When did you start there?
Yeah, it's been fun. I've started there about almost 3 years ago.
Has it been that long?
I know. Jeez. I know. I'm not a child anymore. But you know what's been so funny is, like I said, I knew nothing about politics. I mean, I want to say that. I don't want to say that when I was trying to get the job, but...
Well, you ought to run for office then.
That's right. That's right. And it's been fun, and Slater's a great guy, and we've got a good group. You know, we've got some young young guys.
By the way, congratulations to the Slater family.
That's right.
I told them your life will get back to normal in 30 years.
Yeah.
They had a baby.
Yeah, we had him on the show here.
Yeah,
I don't know if...
Yes.
You remember hearing that, right?
Yes, definitely. And I went and saw the baby last week for the first time. I got to really hold it and cried in my hand.
What's the baby's name? Do we?
It's Jack.
Jack Slater. All right.
Jack Slater.
Very cool. Well, kids are great when they're somebody else's. That's what I said.
That's right. Because I left. I spent 30 minutes there, went home, and
you get
had
to
a fun time.
You get to sleep through the night, right?
That's
the main thing. So, but then you get to work with a cool guy like Eric Rubalcava, who's on our. Justin's got off tonight, so we have Eric filling in too. So, Eric, always great having you work with
Thank
us.
You,
so,
sir. Almost the voice of the Padres.
You know, we had Eric before Slater got him. Just remember that.
Yes. We found him. Okay.
We broke him in. We broke him in on our show, and that's
how we were talking about the time he lost the Dickie Smothers interview for us.
Yeah. Yeah, we did a whole first segment, and he goes, "Guess what? I logged it incorrectly, and it's gone." So Dickie's on this. I go, "You know what, Dickie? We didn't really start off. We started talking about tennis or something." Yeah. And actually, it was better.
It
the
went
second.
Great. It,
it was
great.
Better the second time.
That's
so.
Right. It was a preview.
Just like that's right. It was just a warm up. So whatever. How much time we have left there? I guess 2 minutes. Gosh, it just flew by. Just flew by. Well, let's talk about your foundation a little bit. The Larry. Is it the Himmel Family Foundation?
Yeah, it's the Larry Himmel Neighborhood Foundation, and pretty much, I mean, it's very simple, and we have a lot of fun with it. You know, my dad went and told stories in the neighborhood. I mean, whether it was Jamul, Encinitas, Chula Vista, I mean, he was everywhere.
Yeah.
And he enjoyed that, and if he hadn't have passed away, he'd still be doing those stories. So we said, how can we continue his legacy? How can we keep doing these things that he did? So we thought we'll go out in the community and we'll do these stories and we'll share them, and we do this in just kind of a fundraising way.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of fun with it.
Isn't that great? Well, just tune into the Mike Slater show here, or get on Facebook and friend Miles Himmel if you can. And you know what? If you go into the Comedy Store and you go in the back by the bar, I showed you those pictures.
You did.
His dad's on the marquee with people like Robin Williams and all these other great comics. You get to see his name there. And so that's a legacy that's nice. So anyway, great having
you
on, Miles Himmel.
Thank you, guys.
Well, real pleasure. Miles Himmel, thank you. Thank you to Paul Palmer, Richard Musio. Great seeing you this week. Eric Rubalcava, great sounding on the board for the show. Thanks to Craig Blanky, our account executive, Andrew Dave Sniff, our program genius here at KFMB. All these podcasts are commercial free on iymoney.com. We'll see you next time now. Bye-bye.